what the Bible says about Muhammad, Islam and other religions, and was Christ crucified. So you can see there is a fixation between what goes on between the Christians and Muslims concerning the Bible and the Quran. There has been a great deal of this kind of information. Business is in that. And you'll notice here, he is quoted or stated as being international scholar of the Christian Bible. And as such, he has gained himself a lot of acclaim amongst the followers of Islam as somewhat of a champion. And he has quite actively pursued his course of action which denigrates the Bible. And very recently, many of you will possibly have even attended one of these lectures. This one was in London by Mr. Yusuf Booker. Is the Bible God's Word? This one occurred right here, November the 30th. The Quran and the Bible. And so you can see a similarity in what we're doing tonight. And we make no bones about it. We have no vendetta, no grudge against Muslims. But there has been a lot of negative comments about the Bible, which caused a lot of people to doubt it. And we feel that it's time that we take opportunity to make response to some of the criticism. And Stephen Massoud will tonight turn that hot light of critical scrutiny back onto the Quran and see how it shines in such light. So we will do that first. Mr. Massoud will be first, approximately 1 hour. We will have a break, short break. After that, Mr. Ashurst will speak, and for the remainder of the formal program, there'll be another break, and then after that, question and answers. Cards at the end of the tables, the index cards, if you have a question, please take it, fill it in, sometime between now and the last portion when we begin answering questions. I will take the cards and draw them at random from a box, and we should have ample time for a good question and answer segment. If everything goes according to plan and goes as smoothly as we hope it will. So, we hope you enjoy the evening's program. Before I do leave, I must announce, I believe, a fire procedure for this building. If a fire occurs, please leave as quickly as you can by the shortest route. That's fairly straightforward. And you can see the doors, red lights will illuminate if there is a fire. The area to gather is on the grassy area outside the main doors of the building. That's the drill. So thank you once again, and I won't waste any more time. I'll hand you right over to Stephen Massoud.
Good evening to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I really consider this a great privilege and a joy for me to share with you some thoughts about this message, the Quran and the Bible, of the Bible and the Quran, a question of integrity. Many have come from far, far places, especially when it's the winter season here in this country. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for such a nice introduction. And ladies and gentlemen, in Islam, when a child is born, he is right away treated as a Muslim. Even it is said that whatever child in whatever religion or whatever family is born, he is born a Muslim. It's actually his parents who turns him to become a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or something like that. What I'm talking is about a Muslim child. When this Muslim child is about 5 or 6 years old, he is sent to a madrasa or a kind of school which is adjacent to a mosque, or to an Islamic studies center, and he is taught about the basic things in Islam. Right in his childhood, he is told to believe in the exposition of faith, and that is, أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and so on. I believe in Allah, I believe in His angels, I believe in His books, and I believe in the Prophet and the Day of Judgment, and so on. When this child is given the explanation of this faith, yes, he is told that a Muslim must believe in Allah, he is told he must believe in angels, and of course in the Prophets and the Day of Judgment. But when it comes to the books of God, well, وَكِتَابُهُ وَكُتُبِهِ, then of course a Muslim child is told that there are four holy books given to various prophets. The Torah was given to Moses, Zabur was given to Hazrat Dawood, David, and Injil, which is the Gospel, was given to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus the Christ. And then in the end, Quran al-Hakim was given to Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now another step, they come forward, and these children right at that 6-7 years age are told that all earlier books were corrupted or have been corrupted and changed, and only the Quran is word by word, syllable for syllable, the word of God, and it is not changed. It's, ladies and gentlemen, it is not only in the Muslim countries or in the East. This is also happening here in the West as well. I have here a book called Islam for Younger People, written by Ghulam Silver for the Muslim Education Trust. And the children also are taught the same thing here. I'll just give you an example of that. On page 29, it says, the Sahifa of Ibrahim cannot be found now. The Zabur, the Torah, and the Injil have been changed by their followers. They added their own words to Allah's words. This is why we do not get these books as they came in first. The Quran is a complete book of guidance for Allah, from Allah. It is with us today, without any change, with nothing added or taken away. It is the last book of guidance for mankind from Allah. So, ladies and gentlemen, when this child goes in that type of atmosphere, you say he is trained in a kind of apologetic situation. So when he grows up, and even when he is in my age or older than me, even if he has not read the Bible before, even if he has not seen the Gospel on his tongue, my experience is, I hear from them, oh, the Bible is corrupted, the Bible is changed. So, then when we turn to the Muslim scholars about this, I have seen the majority of them have adopted. I'm not blaming for that. But this is what the truth, whether you accept it or not, that they have adopted such a test and standard for the Bible which they would not use for the Quran. And this evening, I would like to draw your attention to some of these accusations and will show you that the same accusations can be raised against the Quran. The standard applied to one book will without change be applied to another. Now, I will go through these few things which they say and will show you that how the problems are raised. The first claim is that you Christians, you don't have the originals of your Bible. I have here is a Bible, God's Word, and here in this one we are told at one place with a picture that Christian scholars themselves believe that the original manuscripts of the Bible are not existent anymore. what should we do? They say the Bible has no original manuscripts available. Christian scholars themselves believe that all perish. So the Muslim conclude, therefore, the Bible is not reliable. If a book has not original manuscripts, then its text is not trustworthy. Our reply is still the same. Ladies and gentlemen, that we have most ancient manuscripts made from the originals, and today's Bible which we have has been translated from those modern, from those ancient manuscripts. Now, usually when we say this, they say, no, we don't accept it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I came across this thing, I thought, okay, our Muslim friends say this, that if there is no original, then it means that the Bible is not authentic. So I asked myself this question. How about the Quran? The present Quran, as what we see today, ladies and gentlemen, we also find that there is no original manuscripts available for it today. The present Quran was collected by the order of Hazrat Usman. He was the third successor who ordered a committee to collect the Quran. And my proof is Sahih Bukhari. And this is that Sahih Bukhari from which I will be quoting to you. I have here a volume of Sahih al-Bukhari. On one side it is in Arabic, on the other side it's in English. And if you would like, afterward you can see to it. Or there are in Muslim shops, you can have it. And this authority in Sahih Bukhari, it says the authenticity of al-Bukhari or al-Bukhari's work is such that the religious learned scholars of Islam said concerning him, the most authentic book after the book of Allah, the Quran, is Sahih al-Bukhari. And Dr. Muhammad Mohsin Khan, who is the professor of Islamic University in Medina Munawwara in Saudi Arabia, he, in introduction, says these words. And in this Sahih al-Bukhari, we find the traditions that what actually happened, that on the complaint of, due to the complaint of various Sahaba, Sahaba is the disciples of Muhammad, and saying in various battles that quite a few Muslims were killed, and it is, we are told that these Muslims remembered or memorized the Quran. So Hazrat Umar, people like Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Huzaifa, these got together and they asked. There are two types of traditions. One is about Hazrat Umar, the other one is about Hazrat Huzaifa. And they asked, Hazrat Umar asked Abu Bakr that we should collect the Quran in one volume. And this other tradition also tells us about Hazrat Huzaifa when he saw that quite a few were killed in the battles. And there was another thing, that when they got together, these various Muslims from various places, provinces of Islam, when they got together to fight in the cause of Allah, they found that one who had recited the Quran in front of somebody else, he was reciting in some other way, and this other person was reciting in some other way. It's not only the qirat, but also the various readings were in existence, and we will go and we will see that. In that Bukhari we are told this, that he, Hazrat Usman, asked the committee to collect the Quran, and these four people got together and they compiled the Quran. And when it was compiled, Hazrat Usman sent various copies to various provinces. And in this Bukhari we are told this, that when he sent these He also ordered that all other Quranic materials, whether written in fragmentary manuscripts or whole copies, be burnt. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is a first-hand evidence from a book which is called Second to the Quran, says that the fragmentary manuscripts are whole copies to be burnt. And this is what happened. So you see that the Quran too has no origin today available to us. Now another example when it comes to us is that Jesus never wrote his words. He never wrote his words in one book. But we can also say the same about the Quran. We also can say that he did not instruct. He did not instruct Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, and Hazrat Uthman to collect and compile an official Quran. You know, when Hazrat Abu Bakr, on the instruction of Hazrat Umar, or suggestion of Hazrat Umar, asked Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit, another disciple of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that why not the Quran to be collected? So Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit said, كيف تفعلون شيئا لم يفعله رسول الله? How can you do something which Allah's apostle didn't do? Now what happens? The reply comes from Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. قال هو والله خير. By Allah, it is a good project. And it's from Bukhari 16, page 477. The English version which I have here, you can see it for yourself as well. Now, we are asked, were the collectors of the New Testament authorized or inspired by God? You know, I come across so many friends, so many Muslim friends, and they sometimes, or often, these type of questions ask me. They say, were the collectors of the New Testament authorized or inspired by God? Ladies and gentlemen, it is very hard to say. But when it comes to the truth, I have to ask, were Hazrat Uthman and his members of the committee inspired or authorized by God, or the Prophet of Islam had told them that that committee should collect the Quran? The Bible clearly says that the disciples were inspired, and Jesus had told them already that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will remind you all the things which I have said, and he will lead you into the truth. So, when the time came, these disciples said to each other, dictated to each other, and wrote. And that's what we have today. Another thing which is said is that Jesus never wrote the scripture. Of course he didn't write the scripture, nor did the Prophet of Islam. He was an Ummi prophet. We are told that he was an Ummi prophet, he couldn't write. Another thing when it comes, they ask, Jesus spoke Aramaic. The Christian scriptures are in Greek. Therefore, it is that record which is not reliable. And when I hear these things, I really become very much surprised at what kind of standard we use. We must not be one-sided. And tonight, I would like to say to you that when I read the Quran, which is in Arabic, and I see that the Quran quotes words of Jesus in Arabic. Now, Jesus spoke Aramaic. So the Quran's record of his words is not reliable either then. Then not only that, the words of the Hebrew prophets, you know, in the Quran there are several prophets who were born in Israel, among the Israelites. They spoke Hebrew language, and there are certain sayings or certain words which they said. They have been quoted also in the Quran. Now they spoke Hebrew, and in the Quran we have their words in Arabic. So that must be a translation. But in that case, if you can accept an Arabic translation of their words, it is really strange. But why can't you accept a Greek translation of Jesus when he spoke in Aramaic, and we today have a Greek translation of his words? If their words can be recorded in Arabic, then why can't Jesus' words be recorded in Greek? When this type of thing comes along, and when we talk on these things, you know, one after another, the friend asked me questions and questions and questions, and we both goes like this, circle around, circle around. He asked me a question, I reply. When I ask a question, something happens in between. Or he answers me a question, he may ask me certain questions, I may not be able to answer, and then we meet another time and I say, okay, here is the answer, and then we go on. And in that type of experience, I also came with this. I usually am told that, you know, you have so many versions of the Bible, King James Version, Revised Standard Version, NIV, AV, the Oxford, the English Bible, Jerusalem, the Dual Version, and all these type of versions you have. And then when I say to them, but my friend, when we say version, it's a translation. And these which you quote, these are all English translations which you are actually saying to me. But they say, yes, but these versions differ. For example, they gave this expression or reference to us and say, see here, King James Version says in John 3:16, only begotten Son. The Western Version says, only Son. What should you do? You know, if you say the only Son, it's the same thing. And if you say begotten Son, I don't know English that much, but I also say, yes, it's the same thing. But if you say, no, it is not the same thing, then again I would say, how about the Quran? Let's see here. I have here a translation from the Quran, Surah Maryam, and verse number 88. And the verses of those which are in Arabic translated as, and they say, God most gracious has begotten a son. If I show you from some of the English translations of the Quran that they have not used the word begotten, what would you say to it? Shall I say then that the Quran is also corrupted? No, of course not, because it's a matter of translation. You know, Muhammad Barmadu Pictor, Muhammad Asad's translation, Maulana Darya Abadi, and so on, there are quite a few, and they have used the same translation here, not begotten son, but they say, and they say, God most gracious has taken a son. So, when we talk about the translations, I would say that we also find striking differences in the Quran as well, or in the versions of the Quran as well. For example, here, I just give you an example here. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, we are told إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٌ. It was we who revealed the law to Moses, therein was guidance and light. Now I have here an Urdu translation as well, which is from Maulana Fateh Muhammad Jalandhari. And I will tell you what that says afterwards. But here we go to another translation. Now there it is said, it was we who revealed the law to Moses, therein was guidance and light. And here we find that Muhammad Marmaduke Pickle, he translates, look, we did reveal the Torah wherein is the guidance and light. Now one gentleman, Yusuf Ali, is translating, was guidance and light, past tense. And another translation comes to the present tense, is guidance and light. It's very important to know, if we are really up to these translations, then we see. And not only that. Now the same translation I was referring just also in present tense. Those who speak Urdu, they can know that Maulana Fateh Muhammad Jalandhari says, Beshak humne Torat nazil farmaye jisme hidayat aur roshni hai. The present tense. Now what is happening, that as we have come to this strange modern age and we want to find that the Bible is corrupted and all these things, we are translating these things now into the past. Now here again, Yusuf Ali translates, وَعَتَانَهُ الْإِنْجِيلَ فِيهَ هُدًى وَنُورًا. We sent him, in other words Jesus, the gospel therein was guidance and light. اور ان کو انجیل عنایت کی جس میں ہدایت اور نور ہے. Now Maulana Fateh Muhammad Jalandhari, when he translates it in Urdu, he translates it in present tense. When Maulana Yusuf Ali translates it in English, he translates it in past tense. And here, another one, Muhammad Marmaduke Pickle again, he says, we bestowed on him the gospel, wherein is guidance and a light. Now my Muslim friends tell me, oh, you know, it is a matter of translation. So ladies and gentlemen, King James Version, Revised Common Version, that's also a matter of translation. Whenever we want to prove something, you know, whenever our Muslim friends want to prove something, they always go to these English various versions. And they say, see here, one says this and one says that. Instead of going to the Greek manuscripts and the Hebrew manuscripts, there we find this trouble. Now, if you say that if the translation is different, then it means the Bible is corrupted. Ladies and gentlemen, for your information, I have here a magazine printed from Birmingham, Mahnama Sirat al-Mustaqim, Birmingham, May 1985. It's printed also in Urdu and English, but the English one is not the same as the Urdu one, because there may be different articles in English one. And in this one, there is khud badalte nahi Quran ko badal dete hain. And I have translated it, they do not change themselves, they change the Quran. And in this, on page 33, we are told that the translation by Ahmad Raza Khan of the Quran and the commentary of Maulana Naimuddin is banned. So ladies and gentlemen, nobody says that the Quran is banned. But actually, the translation was not accepted by several Muslims. So, the local authorities or the Muslim authorities banned it or confiscated it. Nobody says that the Quran is changed. You know, when people hear voices against the Revised Standard Version or against the King James Version, they automatically say, see, that version says there are so many defects in it. There are so many problems in it. And that's why we don't want to accept it. That means the Bible is corrupted. And here, when we see something like this, nobody says that the Bible, that the Quran is corrupted. So I would like you to think about it. Why is it that our Muslim friends think in this way? They must change. They must change their behavior. Now, when nobody says that the Quran was corrupted, the same I would like you to know, recently Maulana Muhammad Ali's translation, Maulana Chiragh Ali's translation in Pakistan have been confiscated, banned. You know, in 1978, in South Africa, when Muhammad Asad's translation was introduced, there was a big kind of battle started between a little, you know, letters to the editors in the Muslim magazines against that translation. So you say, the same happens in Islam about the Quran. Now when we revise our translations, the same happens in the Quran translations. Revision is done so. When we come to another step, we are told, but listen, sometimes they're saying, oh Stephen, listen, you know, there are chains and chunks which are found in the King James Version but have been thrown away from the Revised Standard Version. Very good. What should we do? I heard on the 30th November here the same thing. Chunks and chunks which are found in the King James Version have been thrown out of the RSV. Again, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, the Revised Standard Version and the King James Version are translations. The Revised Standard Version includes those two references or three references which the other guy here on the 30th November mentioned by my friend Hafiz Muhammad Yusuf Bukhar. He mentioned about John chapter 8, 1 to 11, and he also mentioned about Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 20, and 1 John 5, 7. That they have been thrown out from the Revised Standard Version. Now please, remember, as I said, that Revised Standard Version again is a translation. And second thing, please do remember that Revised Standard Version includes them in their footnotes. Why? Now please, remember, why? Because the Mufassirin or the commentators say that some manuscripts do not have them. Now please listen to it carefully. I will request you. Why? Because that some manuscripts do not have them. So, does it mean that if some manuscripts don't have them, so does it mean that the Bible is corrupted? The Bible is no more the Word of God? And the reason I'm asking this tonight, that the answer which I receive is yes. And again, I will say, ladies and gentlemen, how about the Quran? I can reverse the same thing and can say that chunks and chunks which were found in the various Sahaba's manuscripts are not included in the present Quran, and I can also say that chunks and chunks which are now in the Quran, they were not included in certain Sahaba's manuscripts. Ladies and gentlemen, here. Du'a Qanut, as you call it, اللهم إنا نستعينك ونستغفرك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك and so on under the English translation and in between. Now in Hazrat Abi Kab, this is the Muslim scholars, I can give you the quotes from the books. Hazrat Abi Kab in his mashab, in his nuskha, in his manuscripts, this was included, but today is not found in the Quran. Shall we say then the Quran is corrupted? You would say, oh, you are crazy.
Excuse me, it's manuscript of law. It's manuscript of the Quran?
Yes, sir.
Can you keep your questions, please?
No, this is a clarification, not a question.
Okay, well,
I am saying that Hazrat Abi Kab's manuscript. Now, in Hazrat Abi Kab's manuscript, this was found.
Excuse me, can you keep saying manuscript of the Quran so we know what you're talking about?
Yes, okay, sir. Thank you. So whenever I use the word manuscripts with these Muslim names, please. Okay, right.
Excuse me, sir, if you have a question.
It's not a question, it's a clarification.
The time allotted at the end is generous, but you are wasting it.
That's a clarification.
Are you satisfied now with the clarification?
Providing he's strict to use incorrect, he's saying somebody else is.
Okay, no, if you're not satisfied, you'll have a chance at the end, but you are wasting the time right now. We cannot proceed if this goes on, okay?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for that interruption. Now, that's one example. I just give you one example. That's just one example. Now, I give you another example. Is here. Now, these three chapters were not in Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud's manuscripts. And Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud was not just an ordinary person, personality, ladies and gentlemen. Our Muslim friends know very well, and very well, that he was one of the four about whom the Prophet of Islam advised Muslims for instructions in the Quran. And Hazrat Imam Razi, in his Tafsir al-Kabir, says clearly that Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud did not consider these as part of the Quran. If you would like photocopies of those things, I can send it to you through post, or you can come to 60 Kenwood Road, Stratford, Manchester, and can take it from me. So, ladies and gentlemen, nobody says today, no Muslim would say, but they would say, that the Quran is the same syllable for syllable, word for word, as it was revealed.
I always said that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I wanted to show you. Now when we go through this thing, another objection comes about variant readings in the Bible. They say there are variant readings in the Bible, but it is not so in the Quran. There are no variant readings in the Quran as it was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. We have the same word by word Quran today. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, yes, of course there are variant readings in the Quran, but the problem is that a lay Muslim is not told about it. I'm not blaming you for it, because it is very difficult for many to go into that much detail. But if you ask Muslim scholars, they may tell you it clearly. I'm sure they are honest and they will tell you clearly. And I will just give you a few for your attention. And I'm quoting from Hafiz Abi Bakr Abdullah bin Abi Dawood Suleiman bin Al-Ashid As-Sijistani, who died in 316 Hijra. And he wrote a book, Kitab al-Masahib. And he mentions these. Variant readings, manuscripts before the present Quran. On one side you see the present Quran, and there were manuscripts before the present Quran. When I say the present Quran, I mean Hazrat Usman's compilation. And before that, that was one of the reasons that Hazrat Usman said that all the fragments of the Quran, whole or part, should be destroyed. Now see here, you may find that some words are written also in Urdu language, but these ones which are underlined, comparing to this, you may not find it in the present translation. And I just took first chapter of the Quran, second, third, and Surah Al-Asr, and I will just show you something. Now here, we say, for example, Sirat al-Lazina anamta alayhim ghair al-maghzubi alayhim wa al-zalim. Now, Mas'ab Umar bin al-Khitab, this verse was something like this, Sirat man anamta alayhim ghair al-maghzubi alayhim wa ghair al-zalim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we say word for word, syllable for syllable. But here is Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab's manuscript, which has these addings in it. Now in Surah Al-Baqarah we find ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the scripture of which there is no doubt. While in Hazrat Ibn Masud's manuscript it was written something like this, تَنْزِيلَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It is the scripture sent out of which there is no doubt. Now in the present Quran we see لَا سَعَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أَن تَتَّقُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَإِذَا أَكْرَسْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتِ أَنْ سُؤَالِ. But between here, just here in the middle of it, in the manuscripts, in the manuscript of Ibn Masud, in the manuscript of the Quran which Ibn Masud had, these words, فِي مَرَاسِمُ الْحَجِ, was there. And in present Quran, we don't have it. The same is here. These underlined were before, and the present Quran is here. So these underlined are no more to be found in the present Quran. You know, the famous verse, you may see it on banners, you may see it on Muslim books, written, إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The religion before God is Islam. And in Hazrat Ibn Masud's manuscript, it was written, إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْحَدِيثِيَةِ. You may say, okay, it doesn't mean Hanifia and the Hanafi religion or the Islam is the same. We are talking about words here now. Because the same happens with our my Muslim friends. They come around and say, okay, see here, it says some other words have been used here, and in this version some other words have been used here. And here in the original manuscripts, before the Hazrat Usman Quran, we find another story. Now, I will not go in much detail of it, but just say here. All these underlined are not found now, underlined words and verses are not found in the present Quran. Now here in this verse, from Surah Al Imran, between these, just here, these words are not found anymore in the Quran. And the same goes. Now Surah Al-Asr, see, just Wal-Asr innal insana lafi khusr, and so on. And only three verses are here. While here we find again in Hazrat Ibn Masud's Quran, these were different. And not only that, ladies and gentlemen, Hazrat Ar-Rabi bin Qutayb, now see to it, Surah Al-Asr. See for yourself, that's the present Quran. And that's the Quran which Hazrat Ar-Rabi bin Qutayb had. And I quoted this from Kitab al-Masail by Hafiz al-Bakr Abdullah bin Abi Dawud. And you can find even the original manuscripts is still at the Maktaba Zahiriya Damascus. And you may find it for yourself if you go there, or to some other libraries. Now when we go through these things, ladies and gentlemen, we find... How much time I got? Sorry. When we go into these details, then our Muslim friends turn around